God has God has been good to us just in this time. We had a great holiday. It's really a privilege to go away with your family. We went to the dam. Pretty dumb geweest, and those of you following on Facebook could have seen us doing our thing. Ek is nog steeds stijf. As 'n man 40 sal. Ek raak hierdie jaar 40. Halleluja, prys God. So ja, Ash, ek voel hom. When you go skiing, when you're turning 40, then you know that you are getting old. My clean father, he always says, Deval, you peak at 25, and then it's just downhill from there, man. I'm feeling it. No, it was really great. We had a lovely time together. So thanks for letting us go once again. So I want to share with you guys just a word that I read through the holiday, just one small portion of scripture, but it just grabbed my heart. It's not something for the year, it's just the general thing that the Lord is just laying in our hearts once again, or in mine at least, just for what's coming, and to really be wise in that. It's weird when you haven't preached for a while, you get that butterflies once again. I'm like, yay! I'm nervous. That's correct. But I won't be nervous too long, don't worry. Okay, so I wanna just share one thing that, or a couple of things that happened through the holiday. One of them was my boys they're really amazing. And we're getting comfortable now, in a certain sense. No more diapers, no more none of that. They can do everything themselves. We can lay down, like this morning, and say, go and make yourself some food and help your little brother. And then it happens. That's great. But anyway, so, but other things that start to happen is when your kids get older, they start to ask you difficult questions. One thing that happened was, our eldest was reading just scripture. And it's weird, you know. When you read scripture, it changes you. If you allow it to, obviously. For those of you that are on the news group, I shared a video there. It's just interesting, you know. John Bevere they were doing a study, and they wasn't looking for what they found, but they found it anyway. They just went to Christians that read their Bibles. Okay? Now, I won't make you put up your hands. But I'm going to tell you the story anyway. So they did a survey, and then they asked people how many times they read the Bible in a week. And then they took all those stats together, and then they, you know, had some other things that they asked as well to see the difference that it makes in their lives because they read the Word. Now, the people that read the Bible once a week, zero change in their lives. Any takers? Who's the one that once a week readers here? Joking. Okay, so if you read the Bible once a week, there will be zero change in your life because of that. If you read the Bible twice a week, it's a little bit of a blip on the scale, but it's not lasting. If you read it three times a week, the same almost as two times a week. But then they saw something funny. Actually amazing. Those people that read the Bible four times a week, the spike goes off the chart of their lives being impacted and changed by the Word of God. Now, when I was younger, there was a time when I didn't want to read the Bible. And then I had a friend, and she said to me, just read the Word. I'm like, but I don't get anything from it. She said, just read it. And I kept reading it. I kept reading it. I've been on holiday. My English is... So I just kept reading it. And now there's statistics for what happened in my life. But if you read the Word, it changes you. You start to contemplate it. You start to make it part of you, even though you don't think it happens. And your thought patterns begin to change. The way that you approach life begins to change. Because now all of a sudden you are in the Word of God more. And obviously, if you read the Word every day, then it's different. If you study the Word of God, it's even more different. Okay, so, but that was just interesting. I don't know where you are in this new year. Many of us come into our new year resolutions. But how many times are you reading the Word in a week? Maybe aim for 4, so that your life can be changed this year. Not by my great preaching. How's that for vanity? I'll go and read my scripture. Humility devolved. No. Not about anybody, but the Word of God that changes you and I as we read it through the Holy Spirit. Because your life is different than mine. But anyway, so now our boy is reading, and he comes across this scripture. And he comes to his mother. And he asks his mother, "Mom, what does this mean?" And she's like, "That one you ask your daddy." He reads this. "Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come." Any takers? Now, our boy comes and he asks me this question. But I've grappled with this, obviously. You know, it's one of those things that you need to, because this is not the sermon. This is just an add-on for the sermon this morning. Because many people struggle with this, and my boy also. You know, he reads it, and it's like, but what happens? And it was so beautiful for me, you know, when I just laid it out. And I even got a revelation from that as I was laying it out to him. Once again, you know. But I start usually, and I say, what sin that you are doing on this side of eternity cannot be forgiven? Answer me. What sin, if you ask for forgiveness from God humbly, will not be forgiven? Is it a trick question? Next! Nothing! No sin that you come to God for and ask humbly for forgiveness will not be forgiven. Okay, so let's get back. What sin will not be forgiven if you don't do what? If you don't believe. If you don't believe in Jesus, that sin will not be forgiven you. Who is the one that prompts your heart to respond to the Word and to respond to God and His Word? The Holy Spirit. If you constantly reject the prompting of the Holy Spirit and you speak against Him in your mind, in your heart, that sin will not be forgiven you. It's simple. If you respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you will be forgiven. Okay, so now I'm laying this out to my boy, and then God just opens up a little bit more, because it's all about faith. You have to go back. Why did Jesus say this? You go back to the Old Testament. What did they have to believe? The people of the Old Testament, what did they have to believe to be saved? That Jesus is coming. They didn't know His name was going to be Jesus, but the Messiah is coming. So everybody that was in the Old Testament that will be saved was those that truly believed God will bring the Messiah, the one that's taking away my sin. And then those that lived with Jesus, what did they have to believe? That He is the one. I think they got the raw deal there, in a certain sense. Especially if I know Him. I know Eben, and Eben comes to me and he says, "He's the Son of God." I'm like, but they had to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And what must we believe? That Jesus did come, He did die, and He did rise from the dead. We've got a bonus. What is the bonus that we've got that the others didn't have? The Holy Spirit! That's amazing. So, when you take the context of Jesus speaking this word, you know, those people that spoke against Jesus in this scripture saying he isn't the Son of God, and they are dissing Jesus, Jesus says, even if you speak against me, it will be forgiven you. How? Jesus dies, rises from the dead, goes up to heaven, and then somebody that spoke against Jesus said, oh, he was actually the Son of God. Please forgive me. What will happen to him? He will be saved. But if you constantly reject on this side of what Jesus has done, what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life or trying to do in your life, that sin will not be forgiven. And it's not something that you will stumble into. Oops, I've sinned against the Holy Spirit. No. It's your willful desire not to follow God and not to respond to His word. That will not be forgiven anybody in all eternity. Does it make sense? Alright, so now I'm explaining this to my boy. But the point is, it's all about faith. Everything, and I mean, the scripture is full of it. There's a lot of scriptures for that. It's about faith. Faith in Jesus. You and I believing in Jesus. Other people believing in Jesus. Now, what is, according to you guys, the most known scripture worldwide in the Bible? John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Okay, so that is the scripture, I think, apart from maybe Psalm 23. That people worldwide knows the most. You know what was interesting to me when I was preparing for the sermon? You know the context of that scripture? There's a religious dude coming to Jesus. But really top-notch religious. He's one of the Sadducees, Pharisees type of guys. He comes to Jesus. I think it's at night. And he wants to know. He asked Jesus one question. What must I do? Because I know a lot of stuff, so let's read this. Let's read John 3. I'm going to read the whole passage up until 18. For those of you who've got your Bibles here, you're welcome to turn there. So let's read John 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, why do you think he came by night? He was afraid of the peer pressure and of the people because all of his buddies said, that man's a lunatic. He didn't think so. And this is amazing, you know. That's why I say it's a great context to know when it comes to the scripture that we know so well. It's a guy that was religious, that knew the scriptures, that comes to Jesus by night because he's afraid. And then he asks Jesus, he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no one can do the things you do unless God is with him. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I would have liked to be a fly on the wall in that conversation. There's a lot of conversation that's sometimes difficult, you know, with Jesus, but especially this, we look at this and we think, why can't you understand? Again, Old Testament, Jesus' time and us, it's easy for us because of the Holy Spirit and revelation and all of the things that has already happened to look at this thing and say, why didn't you see it? But go back to where that guy comes from. His religious mindset, and he needs to believe that Jesus, this one, is the Son of God. And now he's asking him a question about life eternal. And Jesus says to him, you need to be born again. Now Nicodemus, a very avid scholar, sits there and he knows how people are born. I know too. I am a dad of three. And I'm very thankful that I am the dad of the three. So he knows that. Now he asks and he says, because of what's in his head, he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So that's where he is. And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again by water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Okay. The clock is. The clock is ringing. Are the bells ringing in your head? What? Jesus is saying, listen. Remember, this is still not the new covenant. The new covenant happened when Jesus died and was raised from the dead. That's when new covenant. So it's still on this side. Now he's speaking to this guy's spiritual stuff. What's he speaking? He's speaking about the Holy Spirit that will come. The Holy Spirit that is going to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. And how does he explain it? He says, it's like the wind. You can't explain it in words to people. How do you get saved? But it's like the wind. The wind blows. You cannot see the wind, but you can see that the trees are moving. But Jesus explaining to him the spiritual thing, that what is going to happen when people are born again. So he says, so it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus again, you know, he's stuck in this religious mindset, not in a negative way. It's just, it's difficult for him to see because of old covenant. And now it's, we need to go into the new one. And the Holy Spirit, he doesn't have a concept of that. And now he says, but how can these things be? You know, Jesus is frying his head. And I want to tell some of you this morning that sometimes Jesus asks things of us, or he tells us stuff that will fry your religious little brain. And you need to respond in faith to what he's telling you to do. Because if you respond in faith to what he's telling you, you will experience God. You might be like Nicodemus, yes, but how can this be? God, you're asking me to do that. You know that. Kind of like God doesn't know. Oh, the Lord? God. But God, it doesn't make sense. How can this be? How can one be born again? I cannot go back into my mother's womb. I cannot do that. And then Jesus speaks to him about the Spirit, and he says those things. And then he goes on after he's asked, how can this be? And then Jesus, you know, kind of knocks him and says, are you a teacher of Israel? And yet you do not understand these things. Literally, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. But you have not received, you do not receive our testimony. For I have told you earthly things, I have told you earthly things and you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. So peace, Holy Spirit, right. So he who does not believe is condemned already on this side and in eternity. Do you hear it? Because he has not done what? He has not believed in the name of his only Son of God. Okay. So all of this as a build-up, what I want to share with you guys this morning. But before that, I want to recount just a great chapter in my life. Well, it was just a week. But Reinhard Bonke has died now. You guys know, most of you have seen in your Facebook and Twitter feeds and whatever. Just a lot of his stories coming up. But I had the privilege of going to one of his crusades in 2004 in Nigeria. And it's great to to go to places like that, I went with Sias and a lot of other people. And I don't know, we went to one of the crusades where there was just about, I say, just sort of 400,000 people there. Maybe more, 500,000, I don't know. It's a sea of people. And in those times, it was before a lot of the hullabaloo, so we still had the privilege of sitting with him on the stage, all of the importees, which I was one. Sat there to just see what God is doing in that place. But what I remember is, and especially now looking at his testimony, that guy had one thing. And all of his testimonies, you can go and see. One thing that was in his head all the time. Lost souls. That was that. We were sitting this one morning, and then Philip Bosov, he's the pastor there in Shofar, Pretoria. Now, I'm sitting on this side of Philip, and then Philip is sitting, and then Reinhard is sitting next to Philip. Now we're eating breakfast. Philip is talking about all of these wonderful things that we've been doing. Vanity. Yeah. But we've gone on this outreach around our country. We called it Go SA. Danelle, she went on the intercessory team that went on bicycles and drove around the country praying. So that was Star Trek. That was the intercessory prayer. And then after them, we came and we did evangelistic meetings all around the country. It was awesome. Now he's speaking about that. And it takes about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes for him to recount all of this. Now he's Reinhard's eating while he's listening to Philip. And then when Philip's done, he puts down his cutlery. And he looks at Philip. He says, "So people are getting saved, yeah?" People, and Philip says, "Yes." He says, "Good." And then he continues eating. And then, you know, then you go to those meetings, and there's just people, lots and lots of people coming and responding to the Word of God. We stayed in this, we couldn't afford it, so I think we... No, they stayed in the big, I think we stayed in the servant quarters of this fancy hotel. They all stayed in the main hotel. But it was on a golf estate in Nigeria. Okay, now Nigeria's got a lot of bushes, and it's like rainforesty type of plantation there. Now they've got this golf course there. We go and we play golf the one day. And then we get caddies to go with us. And then there's one friend of mine, I didn't play a lot of golf. But his caddy had to look for a lot of balls. And then we get to this one hole. And then he shanks it. But it fades way into the bushes. And then he looks at his caddy and says, "Where's the ball?" Caddy stands like that, he just goes. That's all. I need to go look for that ball. But one thing that I will take with me always is standing in front of 500,000 people or sitting in the hotel lobby with one person. Nobody got second-hand treatment for preaching the gospel to them. Right, not one. It was one or 1.6 million. It was the same. I'm sitting there. What am I? One of those moments where you need to get saved again. Because you got so busy with your stuff. So busy with your life. So busy with all of the things. And your comforts. And your whatever you want to know. And you see something like that. And you see, this is what we were made for. Obviously for the kingdom of God to come. But that is the one thing. So I end off this morning, and I want to read you the scripture that just grabbed my heart once again. James 1:5 is not the scripture, but this is just leading up to it. It says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Okay, so we know the scripture. But this is the scripture that I read. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And whoever captures souls is wise. So I want to bring it before me and us for this year that comes. I want to be a little bit more wise. Again. And get back to this place of wisdom where capturing souls becomes the centerpiece with Jesus Christ of our lives. That wherever you are, you don't necessarily have to hold a mic to do this. Wherever you are, that wisdom is capturing souls. If you are in the bathroom, it doesn't matter where you are. I don't do it there. But you can. I see you struggling over there, brother. Whatever you do, at your workplace, in your family, there was something that happened over the holiday as well, because you tend to slow down in holiday times. That's amazing. We need to do that, you know. The rhythms of life are different. You can't be running at 150% all the time. You will die. Okay, so you need the rhythms of life, and God gives that to us. You know, we see it in nature. Wintertime, summertime, the rhythms of life is there. That is how we are wired. Okay, so we need the rhythms of life. You and I need to be sometimes working hard, other times resting. But anyways, now we're resting. And there was one conversation where we met people that we didn't know at this campsite. And then you speak to a lot of people. And then all of a sudden this couple comes and she starts to speak just about what God is doing in her life. And I'm like, hello. And it was just so different to all of the other mundane conversations that we've had over the last week or so. And it just stood out to me. And I saw in that woman that spoke, it's not difficult to speak about what God is doing in your life. You just need to make it part of how you speak. Consciously. You know? You don't have to go around with the Bible on your arm and preach people like this. But just sitting there and speaking about who you are. Who are you? I'm God's son or daughter. And this is what he's doing in my life. Can I tell you about that? You don't have to ask even. She didn't ask. She just said, this. Then I'm like, okay. And then I had a story too. And I said, that. And all of a sudden, the whole conversation changed from mundane to what God is doing. And we went back and I felt like, this was good. So for this year that comes, let's be wise. Let's be intentional when it comes to the souls of people. And for those of you that are here that thinks, well, I don't even speak to my husband. How will I speak to other people? It's not necessary for you to speak to people like that. All you need to do is you must build a friendship, and then you must invite somebody to church or to small group if you don't have the boldness to share with them your faith. But it's something that we all need to do, something that we all need to get a hold of, because that is what Jesus said. Go out into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel to all of us. Go ye with a mic in your hand and preach the gospel. Nay. Whoa, all of us. We've got Coming Home coming up. For those of you who don't know, our Coming Home, it's just it's 4 Sundays with some small groups in between where we set the table for people that are outside to come in and experience God. But they need to be invited. They need to be brought. And that's the amazing thing about the presence of the Holy Spirit. One person that looks to you, that person can never be saved. One single moment of the Holy Spirit opening the veils, revealing Christ to them, changes their whole life. And all you did was invite him. So, when we go, this is just one thing. Then you will need to learn and do the encounters for that, and Encounter 5 especially, where we teach you how do you share your faith. Because many people struggle to do that. So that you can be wise according to Scripture. So, let the fruit of your life, the righteous one, be a tree of life to people around you. And be one that captures souls, because that is wisdom according to